Ready to hear his word. It's really why we're here this morning. And it's found in Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my appeal for mercy. Because he has turned his ear to me, I will call upon him as long as I live. The ropes of death were wrapped around me. The torments of Sheol overcame me. I encountered trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is compassionate. Return to your rest, my soul. Skipping a verse here. For the Lord has been good to you. And I'm skipping some more here for the sake of time. Why I would encourage you to have your Bibles open, if you have a Bible. Verse 12, the psalmist says, how can I repay the Lord all the good he has done for me? I will take the cup of salvation and worship the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and will worship the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the very presence of his people, in the courts of the Lord's house. So I have a short movie here that you've already seen. Bring any memories back to you? Probably not happy ones. I don't know whether that happens here on Oahu. We're so close to everything. I'm sure we've all had an experience similar to that. So we're going to look at refueling that empty think tank that I think we all tend to feel, maybe more at this time of the year. Maybe it's the change, but we don't really have changes in seasons here. But I think we're still, you know, looking at the calendar and realizing we should be thankful and wondering why we should be thankful, maybe. So maybe the needle is over on the E side over there on this little gauge here. Now these are some of the points that I made. You don't necessarily have to totally agree. I'm suggesting these things from the Psalm 30. We looked at Psalm 30, and my points were remember what God has done. This will help us to be thankful. That's why God has given us memory, even though some of it may have, you know, over the years. You know, as we grow older, the memory may not be as sharp as it once was, but we can remember what God has done for us. We can request, we can ask God to do as He has done before. We need His help. And it's, I think, part of Thanksgiving. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. Rejoice in what God has done. I mean, I think it's part of Thanksgiving that we offer up praise to God. We praise the one that we are thankful for and to. So that was Psalm 30 and then Psalm 90. See how the gauge is getting a little fuller. This is in theory, of course. I mean, we have to think about these things. We have to apply them to our lives, kind of reapply them. Just like that empty fuel tank, it needs to be refueled constantly. In order for that, you know, car to go. So come. This is from Psalm 50. We are to come to the Lord with our thankful hearts. We are to call upon Him in prayer. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. And then we are to consider. We are to consider our lives in the light of God's word. And it'll make us thankful if we'll just reflect upon what God has done. And what He wants to continue to do in our lives, His promises to us. So we're going to look at three more points, and I'm just going to mention them here. Love, faith or trust, and hope. So those, I mean, does that ring a bell? Faith, hope, and love. That's from 1 Corinthians 13. You may remember that. Paul said, now abides faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. So we're going to look at love first. But just want to renew that or refuel that empty think tank that I think we've all have experienced. And maybe right now we feel like, you know, that car that won't start because we just don't really seem to have a lot to be thankful for. But I think if we will just reflect on what God has done, just the fact that we are here today, breathing this wonderful, clean ocean air and seeing the beautiful sunshine and seeing all of us, our friendly friends that are here today, it just should make us thankful. And most of all, of course, the presence of God. Jesus has promised to be present wherever His people are gathered together in His name. So I'm going to quickly share three more keys that I trust will, and this is kind of a mixed metaphor, I guess, three more gallons, let's say, in that fuel tank to top it off. Love. The psalmist said, I love the Lord. Because He has heard my appeal for mercy, because He turned His ear to me, I will call upon Him as long as I live. I wanted to suggest to you that many believe, in fact, the Jewish rabbis, even though there's no superscription to this psalm like there are to some of the others, you know, they have a superscription, little words written above the psalm attributing that psalm to David or Asaph. I think Asaph was one that we saw last week. But there's no attribution here to this psalm, and many of the Jewish rabbis, in fact, the Jewish rabbis believed that this psalm was to be attributed to Hezekiah. I don't know whether you know who Hezekiah was, but he was a godly king. He had a long reign in Israel, in Judah, actually, and at some point in his life, later in his life, we don't know exactly how old he was, but let's say, you know, he was 60-ish, perhaps. The prophet Isaiah came to him and said, you're going to die. God says you're going to die, and you need to prepare for it. Now, it wasn't that Hezekiah was a bad king. He wasn't a wicked king. He was a good king. He loved the Lord. He had great faith. When the city of Jerusalem was being besieged by the Assyrian armies, who had conquered all the nations up until that point of time, Hezekiah went in and he prayed in the temple and asked for God's help. And God gave a great deliverance to the nation. I mean, here was a king who was godly, who made perhaps one of the greatest personages in the Old Testament, someone certainly that we should model our lives after. And yet he was told that he was going to die. I mean, maybe God was wanting to do him a favor and to let him know ahead of time so that he could prepare for his death. I think it was because of God's love, frankly, that God told him this. But Hezekiah wept and he prayed, and God heard his prayer, And he healed him of his disease, whatever it was. We're not sure exactly what it was, but they laid a poultice on him somewhere. Apparently had a boil or something. We don't know, cancer, you know, it could have been. But anyway, God preserved his life. And so this is the plight that Hezekiah had. He writes about how the cords of death entangled him. And the anguish of the grave came upon me, and I was overcome, he said, by trouble and sorrow. I think it reminds me really of our plight in this life. There's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know that perhaps we know it's going to happen, our death, but we don't know that perhaps it might be very soon. And so it behooves us to be ready, of course, but also to realize that, as Jesus said, in this world we're going to have tribulation. But then he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we have Jesus with us. And Hezekiah, although maybe he did not realize it, God loved him. God allows what he allows in our lives because he loves us. And to draw us closer to him. Now, I know the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And I believe that that's true, because the Bible says it's true. But I think it's true also that God puts those things in our lives that makes us feel our need of him and to draw close to him. So don't necessarily think that because of the plight that you're in, whatever it might be, the problems, the trials, that God doesn't love you. God does love you. God has his eye on you as he did on Hezekiah. I think it's why God had this psalm written by the pen of Hezekiah, if Hezekiah indeed was the writer. So there's the lesson of the plight, the prayer. There's the prayer preservation cycle that we've seen before. For example, last week, Psalm 50:15, God said, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. So it doesn't mean necessarily that God's going to deliver us the way we think. I think we've all experienced that, where sometimes maybe we've been sick and we prayed for God to heal us, and it didn't come right away. And maybe we're still dealing with that. Eventually, we're all going to succumb. We know that. The Bible says what we know, obviously, to be true, that it is appointed unto us once to die, and after this, the judgment. We must give account of our lives before God. Hezekiah, thinking about his deliverance and the prayer that he prayed, he turned his face against the wall, and in prayer he prayed, and God said, I have seen your tears, I have heard your prayer, behold, I will heal you. A wonderful promise in God's word. And then there's the promise in verse 2. He said, because he has turned his ear to me, I will call upon him as long as I live. So there's the love. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. If you've not experienced the love of God, I know you've all experienced the love of God, but maybe you've experienced something that you have not realized is God's love. Maybe even through the tears and the trials, God allows these things to happen, to draw us to him and to make us realize our dependence upon him. So love, and then faith or trust, because of a provision that God has made, we learn to trust him. We learn to trust his love. And Hezekiah spoke of this in verse 12. He says, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. And I wondered why Hezekiah said that way. Well, I think maybe because sometimes we just need to remind us of these things, that God has been good to us, and to reflect upon them. And then this is really what faith does. It makes us realize that what God has done in the past, he's going to continue to do. He's going to take care of us. He's going to supply our needs. He said in his word that he would supply all of our need according to his abundant riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise. What wonderful promises God gives. And we've seen that time and time again. Again, the fact that we are here today really is a testimony to the preservation of God. We may not realize it. We may be prone to complain that things are not different in our lives. But I think as we will reflect upon them, we will agree with what Hezekiah said here. And there's a rest, there's a rescue that he spoke of here. How can I repay the Lord for all the good he has done for me? And thinking of how he really drew him out of the jaws of death. Again, I think it's true of all of our lives. We may not even realize all the dangers that the Lord has kept us from, but I'm sure that the Lord has, if we have that those guardian angels that God sends, we're not to worship them, but they're God's messengers to be ministers to us, the Bible says, who shall be the heirs of salvation. But it comes from God, His mercy. Sometimes we maybe keep them working overtime, delivering us from things that we don't even know, dangers. So is that tank getting a little fuller as you think about these things? I hope so. The rescue, certainly thinking of salvation and how Jesus reached down and pulled Peter out of the angry waters when Peter said, "Lord, save me." Such a wonderful thing that when we call upon the Lord, He will save us. He will come into our lives. The Lord Jesus, that is, who is the only Savior, the Bible says. And we call upon Him, and He delivers us from, not just from earthly perils, but eternal perils. The perils of our soul, the peril of our soul, of the destiny of hell, which we all deserve, frankly. Rescue, restoration. God added 15 years to Hezekiah's life. Even fathered a son in that period of time named Manasseh. Now, if you know Manasseh or know anything about the history of that period in which Manasseh ruled, he ruled for a long time, I think 50 years. But he was a wicked king. He was just the opposite of his father. And you might think, well, did God make a mistake? Did God give in to Hezekiah's tears and pleading that he would live another 15 years? And during that 15 years, Hezekiah invited the ambassadors from Babylon to come and kind of see the city of Jerusalem, and gave them the grand tour of all the facilities there, the palace, and they could see the defenses of that city. I mean, you could say that's what led to their eventual demise. You could say that. But you could also say that Josiah would not have been born, who was a godly king. I don't think Jesus actually came from that line. He actually came from the line of Nathan, David's son Nathan. But certainly God was at work in the nation. And God allows what He allows for a good purpose. It may be God's second best. I mean, you could argue that it was really time for Hezekiah to die. And he did not want to die. I mean, who of us wants to die? But we need to be ready for God when He calls us. I think Hezekiah, just this, the fact that he left us this legacy, this testimony of his experience of the love of God, is a great example to us, and a great lesson to us about the love of God, how He delivers us, how He sometimes gives us those things that may not necessarily be the best that He has for us, but He still works out His good purposes in spite of our sinfulness, frankly. We all are sinners. And we all fall short of the glory of God. But may we catch something here of the spirit of Isaiah or Hezekiah in giving thanks to the Lord for all the good things and wonderful things that He does for us. Love, faith, trust, hope. Got them in the wrong order here. If you know 1 Corinthians 13, it's faith, hope, and love. But we're looking at hope because this is looking toward the future. Hezekiah said, "I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and worship before you. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people." And so he made a wonderful promise. Actually, if we could go back to a couple verses there to verse 12. I didn't put that up there. I think I did earlier. But Hezekiah said, "Lord, you surrounded..." No, that's not the right psalm. What psalm are we in? 116. And in verse 12, he says, "How can I repay the Lord all the good He has done for me? I will take the cup of salvation and worship the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. The death of His faithful ones is valuable in the Lord's sight." Well, I actually like the King James Version better translation. It says the death of God's saints is precious in His sight. Precious in the Lord's sight is the death of His saints, I think is how it puts that. And it just tells me that there is a promise made, and a promise kept, certainly, of God's preservation, God's deliverance, God's wonderful love for each of us. how he loves us with an everlasting love, even when we fail him. As Hezekiah would be the first, if he were here this morning, to say, I'm a sinner just like you. I fell short of the glory of God. He's in heaven now, so he's out of the presence of sin. But there's a wonderful lesson here of the promises that we make to God and because of what he has done for us. I think it's really what Thanksgiving is. We thank him. We rededicate our lives to him. We realize how wonderful is his love. And so we surrender to his will and his purposes for our life. So there's a promise made here by Hezekiah. There's thinking about that precious upgrade. Precious in the Lord's sight is the death of his saints. Well, if this was actually Hezekiah writing this, this makes perfect sense to me. That he is thinking about how God saw his tears. He realized how, really, what a fearsome foe death is for us. I mean, how many of us have stared death in the face? And we've realized, you know, there but for the grace of God, you know, I could have passed on. And perhaps at a time that I was not ready to meet God, I was not ready yet in my heart and my life to stand before God. And God has given me this wonderful deliverance that I might serve him, that I might reconsecrate my life to him, to be the servant, his servant, that I know I ought to be. A praise serenade. Finally, there was just at the close of this psalm, as at the end of many psalms, I want to read just what Isaiah said here. In verse 17, he said, I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and will worship the Lord. Now, I'm thankful we don't have to make sacrifices, aren't you? Kill an animal, precious animal. It really shows the heinousness of sin, that it, in God's economy, it requires a blood sacrifice. But God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He sent his son to die on Calvary's cross for us. And so he's speaking here, Hezekiah is, of a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving really for what God has already done. It's almost like Hezekiah realized that one day the deliverer would come, the Messiah would come, the perfect Lamb of God would die for his sins. And he says, I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will worship the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the very presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, within you, Jerusalem. Hallelujah.